Blog Talk Radio.
You make it feel good.
No, the right time people try to get down.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is
being called. You're jamming on the one.
Yay! Saturday!
Yay!
How's it going? How are you, Jason?
I'm doing all right. I don't know. Is Marcia here? I don't think she's here yet. Nope, she's
so,
not.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing all right. I've been arguing with people on Facebook about stuff.
Uh-oh. What about religion and stuff or politics? The usual?
Yeah.
Arguments? That's no fun. Unless they're really dumb and it's a really easy, I mean, then it's kind of fun. But other than that, it's aggravating and stressful. But everybody does it.
Idiots.
You gotta get it out of your system.
Sorry. And it's all about that whole Indiana thing that's going on right now with the
crazy.
It's
from what
crazy.
I know about that, it's
here's
so backward.
It is backward. Here's the thing, though. There are, I think, 21 states that actually have similar, and let's put similar in quotes here, laws like that, religious freedom laws. There's actually a federal law as well, but it was kind of, I'm pretty sure it was declared unconstitutional at some point, but the states have all picked it up and decided that they're going to pass these laws that say that, you know, your religious freedom basically trumps everything. Like, let me put it this way. It trumps the rights of anyone not included in the Non-Discrimination Act. The Federal Non-Discrimination Act. So basically that means it targets one group of people, and that's LGBT. How many letters are there now? There's LGBTQA. I don't know. Anyway. So basically it's targeted at the LGBT community. I mean, it really is. That's the only reason. It's so that they can have the right, the legal right, to discriminate against that group of people. So,
wow.
You know, it's, and then they want to claim that it's all about religious freedom. And the thing is that if it was, they already have religious freedom, right? They have freedom of religion.
Yeah.
They have
right.
the right to personally, you know, practice whatever religion that they want to practice, and they can do it in their home. They can go out and, you know, proselytize to anyone that they want to do that to.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's stopping Jehovah's Witnesses from coming to my door. And all it means is that if you are a business and basically it allows businesses to refuse service to the LGBT community.
In the name of religion.
In the name of religion.
Wow. That is really sad because that's not what religion should be about. You know what I mean?
No.
You'd want that to be like a shameful little secret, a little byline that nobody knows about. You don't want to be out in the forefront saying we're going to discriminate against these people because of our religion. That's just stupid. I mean, it's... makes no kind of sense whatsoever. I'm not too knowledgeable about politics and stuff, so I don't really like to argue it. But if you break it down for me, I can give you just like a armchair, my armchair, you know, take on it. And that one is retarded. That is just...
It is retarded. You
know, it's what is the word? It's so hypocritical and, makes me sick. Kind of like what I was talking about last week, those pitfalls people fall into with religion that just, they're blinded by their own pomp, what's that word, pompous asses.
Yeah.
They're blinded by their own pompous asses. Anyway, that's stupid. If I was gay and I lived in the, and I lived out, something, you know what I predict? I predict something big is going to happen. Nothing too bad, but I think that the gays, this is an opportunity for the gays to stand up and do something, hopefully peaceful, hopefully really smart, and hopefully this is an opportunity for us to stand up and say, just make, turn it around on them, make it a, make them look like complete fools for this, because that's just going back to the, you know, when black people had to drink out of one faucet and white out of the other, you know what I mean? So hopefully there's going to be a really smart gay person out there.
Yeah, we fought this battle, you know, 50 years ago. We should not be going through this again. We don't treat other people that way for any reason. But the same, I mean, religion was used in to treat black people that way too. I mean, it's
I didn't know that.
Interracial marriage. I mean, there was all of that stuff. Bible passages and religious points of view were, and religious rights were used to fight desegregation. And I mean, it's ridiculous because we're going through the exact same thing all over again.
It's complete foolishness. Hey, let's get the listeners caught up on what's hopefully going on today. I don't know if you practiced the guy's name, so did you? Because I don't know how to say his name.
I did not practice his name.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do. Gianna Coppolis. There's a reason that I said I wasn't going to be doing this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. Well, we have Gianna Coppolis. Is that it? We have this writer and comedian. He's really funny. He's a friend of Marsha's, and he's going to be calling in hopefully soon. And he's a comedian, and he's supposedly really hilarious. He's Greek, so his name is kind of hard to. It's probably not that hard to pronounce, but when you read it,
if you're Greek, it's not hard to pronounce at all.
Yeah, but we're not Greek, so
I wonder if Marsha's practicing. Where is Marsha anyway?
She was going to call us. She's rolling around Vegas in her convertible, waving at people and smiling. So she's going to call in when it dawns on her that we might be on the air. But yeah, so we have this guy calling in. You guys are all, anyone listening, you're welcome to call in. I think the number is 714-583-6893. Is that right, Jason?
That sounds right. Hold on, let me check.
Yeah, that is right.
As a matter of fact, we've got a caller. We've got Mr. Vincent with us tonight.
Scott Vincent.
Yep, he is here, and he is raring to go. So
okay.
Let me go ahead and get him up here with us. Hey, Scott.
Hey.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
This is Scott. Can I help you?
Oh, Scott, you're Scott, huh?
Yeah, it's Scott. It's not Kevin Spacey, like that other guy said, but it's actually me. That was my secretary, Kevin Spacey. He's an attention hog.
You're Kevin.
Can I help
Spacey.
You? Can I be on the show now?
You are on the air right now, Scott, and we want your take on this thing going on in Indiana. What do you think? Do you know about it?
You broke up. What do you want from me? I'll do anything. I don't care.
Okay, we just want your intellectual opinion of what's going on in Indiana. And
with the human rights thing? with the whole gay thing. The whole how they hate gays. Yeah, Indiana's fucking gay, man. That state is retarded. They're like a bunch of retards, and they don't know anything about gays and whatnot like we do here in Ohio.
Are you talking from first hand? Have you been to Indiana? Do you know?
I've been to Indiana like 14 times. I drove through Indiana.
Okay.
On my way to Illinois from Ohio. And I know everything there is to know that a guy like that could know about Indiana. And personally,
so think,
I hope they get everything that's coming to them.
You think they're just like a bunch of, like backwards hicks or something? Or
Well, I'm pretty sure that's obvious.
Yeah.
They are.
And it's hard for me to believe that in this day and age with the internet and this television movies and everything, that one state could be completely idiotic and backwards and hillbilly, and another state can be like metropolitan and on top of things and cultured and intelligent. Why can't we all be kind of more even keel? You know, we all have the same. It's kind of like a level playing field. With we all have the
not
same.
Not really. In my opinion, it all reflects on your parents. I think everybody in Indiana has inferior parenting going for them, for one thing. Not a single one of them has a proper upbringing, a proper Christian upbringing, in which we tolerate all peoples.
Yes.
Are you with me on that?
It's the reason that I told someone earlier, I must completely like not understand the Christian religion if the followers of Jesus are all about turning people away and not serving them, because
that's absolutely incorrect. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The true followers of Jesus invite everyone in, and
exactly.
And we forgive as well as we forget, and we forget mm-hmm. a lot. We tend to ignore many, many things.
Yeah, like what about
a lot of stuff. And not all of it gay either. Some of it's straight stuff. Some of it's like, ass to mouth, that kind of stuff. We forget all that stuff. We give it all
up. It's like whatever happened to he without sin cast the first stone. You know what I'm saying? Like, who are we to point to somebody and say,
in fact, we have a saying.
Yeah.
He who lives in grass houses should not stow thrones.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the way we put it to each other in church on every Sunday and Monday morning. We go both days.
Well, Scott,
we're big church going people.
It's nice to hear from you, Scott. How have you been? How's everything been going for you?
Just ducky.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd have to say ducky if you were to ask me what you did, and I did say that, so that's where I'm going to go.
How's Christopher doing? Is he there with you?
He's in my basement living, as usual.
So I'm like, hello, okay.
His parent, he lives in his parents' basement, so that would be me, so yeah.
That's cool. It's cool.
It's pretty cool, really. I mean, it's not like the stereotype, so don't get me wrong.
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah. You know, I can tell by the tone of your voice.
Well, no, I just mean, like, you are very young, and you have a huge family.
I am. I'm very young. I'm, like, 23.
And you're, like,
a 24-year-old son. So, but
yeah,
it's been
like
a long time. Obviously, it's
like
been a long time.
Yeah, you're, like, a young patriarch of, like, this big family, and
I'm
you're
a big
just,
fan. And, I was elected early.
Yeah, you're, like, yeah, it's like a Dallas, except for
it's
you're instead
there.
Of...
Is Chris Contreras there tonight?
What?
I hate to interrupt you, but I have to. Is Chris Contreras there tonight?
That's who you're talking to, fool. Who do you think this is? Who else knows you
Jason?
As well?
I thought you said it was Jason.
Well, yeah, well, we have two separate voices. You're going to have to distinguish. But
I can't
Jason's
do that. But, Chris, I'm really sorry I can't do that, but it's so nice to talk to you. And I have to thank you again for having me on tonight. And I really got to go. Okay.
You guys doing all right? Okay, Scott. Thank you for calling.
I love you,
bye.
Man. Bye.
Love you too, buddy. Take care. All righty. Well, she.
Well, that was nice. Yep. Thanks for calling,
yeah,
Scott.
That was sweet. He couldn't tell our voices apart, so I guess she bowed out grace. We don't sound alike at all, I don't think, but. I listened to the show playback last week, and it was funny. I mean, it was fun.
Was I completely drunk or just a little bit
drunk?
You
were your usual cute self. You were your adorable, lovable self. No change whatsoever. And, your song was good. And I'm sorry I got cut off before I was able to, like, say I loved your song and I loved the way you sang it. It was very heartfelt. And,
I'm afraid that we may have lost Chris Contreras.
Well, we have our guests on the show right now. If you'd like to hold on just a second, I'll try to get Chris back too. So
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, there he is.
Here's our guest. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
I don't.
Who is
okay.
This?
This is Jason, and we're on here with Chris Contreras, and Marcia should be calling any minute. I'm not sure what's going on with her. She said that she had some phone issues, so she should be here.
Your operator is Morgan. Morgan's operating the studio. Who is this?
And it's Josh Yiannakopoulos.
Oh, Josh, I guess.
Josh,
yeah,
can I ask the
guy with a really long name.
Yeah, can
yes.
I ask you a question?
Okay.
Do people typically have trouble pronouncing your name?
People always have trouble pronouncing my name.
I have been trying all night since Marcia said that you were going to be on this show.
Say it again, Josh.
Oh, it's going good. What the fun part is the fun part with my last name is anytime I do a show, the host always comes up and says, "Can we just say G?" No, you can't just say G. Why don't you get up there and slaughter it? That way people pay attention to me. They'll be like, "Who the hell is this guy?"
Josh, say your name, last name, one more time for us.
It's Josh Yiannakopoulos. So it's like a Y instead of a G.
Yiannakopoulos, that's easy.
Yeah. And you know what? Until I make it famous in comedy, I'm thinking about just switching it to Galifianakis because everybody seems to know that one.
I can't like that.
I'm going to ride that as long as I can.
So you're a stand up comic?
I am.
And
well, I try to be at least.
Yeah, and how many years?
Four.
Wow. How's it going for you so far?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm with Comedy Central, HBO, you know.
Oh.
No, I'm barely making it. Like, I just started getting paid for shows, and I got to say
that's
a good feeling. Yeah. So.
Yeah, because, you know, I hear about, you know, you guys got to pay your dues, you know, you pay your dues and time and time, you know. So I think 4 years is about the time when it starts to pay off a little bit, right? On average,
a little bit.
I don't know. You know.
I had to drive an hour for a show the other day, and I did 10 minutes, and I got paid $50. So automatically half of that went to gas. So I'm still paying.
But still, that's cool, though, dude. That's really cool.
No.
And do you have YouTube shows? Do you have your shows on YouTube by any chance?
I do. I have one recent clip on YouTube. I have some more editing I have to do with some other videos.
We're gonna put your YouTube clip on our radio show Facebook site, so people can get to know you a little better. Okay, so.
Okay. Awesome. That works.
Hopefully someday you'll be too big to do our show. You know what I mean? We'll remember when he did. We'll remember fondly when he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where? How far are you traveling out? First of all, where do you live?
I live in Houston, Texas.
And how far out are you traveling? Are you traveling to L.A., New York? Or are you kind of staying in a local outfit?
For the most part, I stay pretty local. I have been to L.A. this past year. Been to Washington, D.C. I've been to Dallas. But those were for work. But while I was there, I contacted club owners, and, you know, I was able to get some stage time. So it was
very
fun.
Cool. And
I went ahead and pinned that post that Marcia put about your Facebook page to the top of the FaceTalk show in case anyone is interested in going and looking. And when you were in Dallas, did you make it to the improv or anything? I know there's one in Addison, which is just south of Dallas.
I didn't make it to the one in Dallas. I went to another club. I think it's called like the Laughing Hyena.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in Dallas, and it was a good room. You know, I enjoyed it. I go to the Houston Improv down here, and every time you go, mm-hmm. it's packed full of comics waiting for stage time. So if you're not scheduled to go on, you'll end up going on at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I went to Hyenas, and the manager was really cool. You know, he put me up. I sent him my YouTube video, and he was like, yeah, come out, you know, and it was great. It was a smaller room. It was mostly comics mm-hmm. there also, but I mean, it was a smaller room, so it was a lot more fun. Nobody had seen me in Dallas before, so everyone was, you know, they were pretty hyped up. So it was fun, though. I enjoyed it.
I live in the Dallas area, a suburb of Dallas. So if you're ever here again, let me know, and I'll come by and see you. So.
Okay.
We actually have Marcia on the line. Hey, Marcia.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing swell. I just continue to have problems with my phone. I swear somebody told me it was the solar flares. So I don't know if that's real or not, but I don't know. So my phone will just freeze, and it will just, it's been doing some funky stuff, but anyway.
That's the excuse that I'm using, because my GPS was acting up. I say my GPS was acting up, but, you know, my girlfriend just said I'm an idiot and I can't follow directions.
You just said, oh, it's just solar flares.
That's what I said. I was like, it's solar flares, baby. That's all it is.
That's what everybody says out here. It cracks me up. So I guess that's the new, I don't know what, hacking or something. I don't know.
Well, you know what, Marcia? Like recently, like I would say a month and a half ago, me and a lot of my friends were having all kinds of phone problems, similar phone problems with holding a charge and almost like going through chargers, like they would stop working. So there might be something to it because it was like,
well,
everybody
I guess, had the same problem. I guess what they're saying is affecting the, well, it makes sense because the satellites in space, you know, but anyway.
Actually, it's true because in October and the month of October and March, solar flares affect the magnetic poles and the electrical equipment in space because of the vernal and autumnal equinox.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I was down in Galveston. I had my GPS on, and for some reason, it had me like 20 miles off the coast. So I was like, "Oh, it's beautiful out here on the water."
Well, they need to make some kind of solar flare insurance for people because I was going crazy with trying to charge my phone and taping it, you know, taping the charger to it, and hanging it in a certain precarious way to get it charged. It was ridiculous. So I finally just bought a new phone. But
I think you might just have a crappy phone.
I did have a crappy phone. No, it wasn't crappy. It was just old. I'd had it for too long. But, yeah.
Hmm.
That sucks. Hi, Marcia.
So Josh, what kind of schedule do you have, like, upcoming? Are you working on any projects?
I need to be. I have a couple of shows coming up. I have one on April 17th and then another one on the 24th. And those are both here in Houston. The 17th, I'm actually performing at a YMCA benefit.
Cool.
A little different.
Gotcha.
It's always different whenever your audience isn't, you know, drinking and it's not 9 o'clock at night.
Yep, true. Actually, I was thinking of asking you about your influences. Like, when did you feel like, hey, I need to get on stage and do this? I'm sure people around you, obviously, you know, supportive people usually say, hey, you need to be doing this. When did you decide you were going to start? I mean, I know you said you've been doing this for 4 years, but anything earlier?
I've been wanting to do this since as early as I can remember, honestly, because first stand-up I watched was Bill Cosby himself.
Okay.
I was maybe 7, and that opened up a whole new world. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, people can get paid for this? And Bill Cosby was hilarious. I laughed through that whole thing. And I was 8, so obviously I watched it 1,000 times in a row, had it memorized, had it down. I know, I loved it. And I think the initial one was probably, I could trace it all the way back. The initial startup was whenever I saw Aladdin. I saw Aladdin, I saw the genie. I was like, I want to do that. I want to be a voice actor. And then I found out that he was a comedian. I was like, no, I want to do that. And that was the trail that led to it. And I was a huge Robin Williams fan for a long time. I can tell you this, whenever Robin committed suicide, I got maybe 20 phone calls from friends and family asking if I was okay, like he was my uncle. They're like, are you okay? We heard what happened. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
But I never got a chance to meet him. I wanted to. That was like one of my top wishes. I've met a couple of guys. I got to meet Christopher Titus. I've got to meet Gabriel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got to perform with Pauly Shore.
Oh, cool.
And Pauly Shore's an asshole. I don't know if I can cuss on the show, so I apologize.
Yes.
Let me see, your Central Time, so yeah. Anyway. It's funny because you just imagine him to be exactly like he is on stage, you know. He follows me on Twitter, which is kind of weird. I don't know why. I don't really do much on there, but and his dad, he lives in Vegas, so I kind of wanted to.
Yeah, isn't it? Pauly Shore, you might want to be nice to, because isn't his dad and mom like huge in like starting up the whole comedy routine, like making
his
a place for people to be in.
Yeah, his mom started that, what is
the
that?
Comedy Store out in L.A.
Yeah, the Comedy Store,
Yeah. I know his background, but I was shocked because, I did a show with him in College Station, and we had been running an open mic out there for a couple of years, and he got scheduled to come out there, and somehow it got set up to where we were performing with him. And which was really cool. Everyone was really excited. And then afterwards, a couple of the comics tried to get him to sign autographs on posters that we made to help support his show. And he tried to charge us money. I was like, I was just on stage with you like 10 minutes ago. Really?
Wow.
You must have made money. So.
Apparently. I don't know. His opening acts were great. They were awesome. They were really funny. They hung out with us afterwards and they just talked about traveling on the road, you know, coming up with material, all kinds of stuff. So they were a lot of fun.
Do you, hey Josh, do you do a lot of research, like, listen to, you know, like on your free time, listen to comedians you've never heard before, or just inundate yourself with comedy and stand up and all that stuff? Or do you just kind of go let it happen organically in your life?
Coming up with material, normally it happens organically, or I have a joke that I've been telling, you know, since I started, but it started as maybe a 30-second bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it started as a 30-second bit, and now it's, you know, a minute and a half. You know,
it
grows.
Can you tell us it, or is it something you like to do?
I can definitely, say it. So it's, my mom is a stripper, my dad is a cross-dresser, and people wonder why I drink. You drink too if you saw your dad in high heels, a miniskirt, and a halter top. Now imagine being 16 years old, seeing your dad head out of the apartment. Oh, Dad, where are you going? Oh, it's ladies' night. Oh, that's cool. You might want to change your skirt. Your boys are showing. Mom was a stripper. Dad was a cross-dresser. That relationship went exactly how you think it did. Mom would take her clothes off. Dad would put her clothes on.
Boom, boom.
That's always the reaction that one. Yeah, that's always the reaction it gets. It gets a little bit of a laugh, but it's what I start out with. Just that first part.
Yeah. Is there more to it now?
No. It used to be just that first part. The mom was a stripper, dad was a cross-dresser. Because people were whoa, it's about to go somewhere.
Is there truth in that? Or you just made it up?
No. There's truth in it. Yeah,
right.
I've seen pictures.
I like the comedians. The funniest stuff is the true stuff. You know, I like that there's always truth in comedy, and I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe not all of it, but I think the funniest comedians are coming from real, you know, truths in their life, and that's cool because I like that.
I try my hardest. I try not to lie whenever I do it. Obviously, you stretch the truth to make some things funnier. But
my real question wasn't when you're trying to gather material, but as far as like just on your free time, do you study comedy? You know what I mean? Does it help to study other comedians, or do you just want to kind of be your own kind of comedian? You know what I'm saying?
No, I love studying comedy. I do it all the time. Anyone from, you know, the greats would be Carlin, Pryor, Cosby, I actually have it on satellite radio to where they'll play some of the newer guys.
Uh-huh.
And, I enjoy it. And then anytime I go to an open mic, I sit and I listen to the comedy. A lot of guys will go outside, or they'll be going over their set, or they'll be on the phone or doing something else. But I like to sit there and listen to everybody. I'm like, oh, you know, that's pretty good.
Hey, Josh, was there a moment when you, and I'll let Marcia and Jason ask questions too, but I just have one more. Was there a moment when it just clicked for you, like the secret to being a good comedian, or like the bottom line, getting up there and making people laugh is blank? Was there a moment when that blank was filled in for you, or is it still not filled in?
I think it would be constantly changing, because sometimes there's not really a set way to do it, because each crowd turns out differently. So that's something that I had a hard time dealing with whenever I first started, was that I could go tell one joke one way, go someplace else, tell the same joke the exact same way, and it gets a completely different reaction, and or no reaction at all. So being able to change with the crowd would be one, and that's something that I'm still working on. I have a long way to go as far as that goes. But as far as getting up there and giving it, being funny, you just have to get up there and try. It has to be an addiction. If you get up there and you kill it and everybody loves you, you have to have the same reaction that whenever you get off stage and you suck. It's like, all right, I got to do it again.
Okay. I hear you. Do you guys have a question for him? I have a few more if you don't, but Marcia, Jason?
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jason. Oh.
No, I'm good. Go ahead, Chris.
You first. Oh,
you
anyway.
First.
Josh. So how about current comedians, and are there some that you like that you've met, hang out with, or any of that kind of thing currently? I don't know if that's really a question, but just curious myself.
Anyone that I've met?
Like your peer, like do you have a posse peer, or do you just, because you're in Texas, correct? If you,
yes.
Do you have like a group that you kind of hang out with, or?
I have a group that, we see each other at, open mics and stuff like that. And we talk, and we've actually talked a couple of times, or, several times about getting together and trying to shoot, YouTube sketch videos, something, just trying to, Houston is, they're very close knit. So we're everyone's trying to help everybody. So it's like, well, why don't we do something together? And, we'll get everybody's name out there. But, there's a few comps that I'm close to here. Carl Hunter, he's one guy, and I'm just going to say random names, that way people go look him up. Carl Hunter, he's really funny. John Wessling, he's a headliner in Houston. I don't hang out with him, but, the guy's hilarious. They're actually part of the Whiskey Brothers. There's a group in Houston, and they're freaking hilarious. It's John Wessling, Slade Ham, Sam Damiris, and I'm missing one, and he's going to be pissed at me because I've performed with him before. Can't remember his name, but yeah, if you look up those three, the Whiskey Brothers come up, and they do a lot. It's a hilarious group. Oh, and we have a local comedy legend. His name is Andy Huggins. The guy's like 80 something years old, and he's hilarious. He actually just won there was a contest, I forget with what company, but there was a contest with a foundation that he just won, and he is going to open up for Jeff Foxworthy.
Wow. 88,
yeah.
You said? 88 years old.
He's, I think, in his 70s. And he did comedy with, I think he was a writer for, what was it? I'm blanking. I wish I had this written down. He was a writer for one of the nightly shows.
Like the Tonight Show, something like that.
Yeah. He was a writer for like the Tonight Show, and like he has credit behind him, and it's just he's really cool. He comes out to open mics all the time. He hangs out with new comics. He's a local comedy legend. His name is Andy Huggins.
Inspiration, right? Hey, Josh, is there in your travels so far? Is there a lot of female comedians?
It's definitely a male. It's guy dominated, but there are a lot of females.
What about gay dudes?
I've run into a couple of gay comics. Well, I only know that because their material. They come out on stage.
You only knew because they were getting beat up in the alley after their set? Or I'm just kidding.
No. They come out on stage and then they have different material. They'll talk about it. And it's either accepted or it's not accepted. So, you know, they end up performing at certain points.
When you come out on stage, generally, like in general, do you feel like a loving, warm, fuzzy feeling from the crowd? Or do you feel like a hostile, mean, you better do good kind of vibe from the audience? What is that like when you step out on stage? What do you feel usually in general?
At first, do you feel, at first when I come out, you there's a little bit of pressure. And then once you get that first laugh, I just take off. I'm good from there. I enjoy myself, have a good time. And then I get off stage and, you know, you just ride that adrenaline wave for like 3 days whenever you do a good show.
Okay. I have a question. So to me, I feel like a person that does stand up, there's a lot of psychology involved. You know, just being able to wing it is really tough. Like Chris was saying, do you rehearse or, you know, I don't know of too many comedians that can't get up there without practicing, but do you find when you go different places that you have to be a little, work a little bit harder, you know, see who's out there? Do you do that kind of thing? You know, just kind of reading the audience, like, okay, or I mean, you probably have experienced good and not so good. You know what I mean? What do you do to get over that?
So I have done shows in a bunch of different settings. So normally whenever you're at a comedy club and they're there to see comedy, it's a lot easier. You don't really have to try that hard. You know, you just do your show the way you would normally do it. Anytime you're at a bar, you need to, you know, exaggerate a little bit. Yeah, you have to pump up the volume in order to get them to look at you because TVs are on, a conversation is going on, and if you want attention, you have to dance around and be like, hey, look at me. Now, I have performed at not-so-safe areas. I actually ran a show in Pasadena for a little while, and it's right outside of Houston. And it's a ghetto area. It's a real safe area where all the billboards turn Spanish. Taco Bell has bars on the windows, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have to convince my friends to come out, be like, hey, come out and see me, you know. We were at the getaway bar. I'm like, hey, come out, you know, come out to the getaway bar. It'll be a fun time, you know, come out to the getaway bar. It's like a vacation. You got to get away. And in reality, it's like we have 10 kilos of coke in the car. We just robbed a bank. We need a place to get away.
Right. Hey, Marcia, do you want to see if one of our callers has a question for Josh?
Certainly. I think Scott Vincent is waiting, isn't he?
Yeah,
any of the callers?
Carolyn, let's see what Carolyn has to ask Josh, okay? Let's look at ladies first. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hello.
Hi, do you have a question for Josh?
I was wanting to know, is his comedy more topical or more political, or is it a blend of both?
Definitely not political. I talk about myself and the random stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, I tend to stay away from politics.
Smart man. Smart man. It's a good way to get the audience to turn on you.
But what about pop culture? Do you like that?
What was that, Carolyn?
I said, or do you pay any attention to pop culture or things that are in the news?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have a 3-minute bit around horror movies. Like, last time I did it, it was Paranormal Activity. And so, as far as pop culture goes, yeah, I include that. I have a joke that I keep using, and I've been told to let it go. But it's about the, it's just a little reference to The Princess Bride. But I love that joke, and I love that movie. And there's always one person that laughs really hard at it.
Can we hear it?
So the joke is, the joke is I'm talking about Matt Church, and, you know, the church that I go to, we always have to hold hands whenever we stand up and whenever we're praying. I'm like, I can't focus on my conversation with God when I'm holding hands with some dude I don't know. So the entire time, your eyes are closed, your head is down, and you're just thinking, why is his hand so sweaty? Is that a mole? Oh, my God, he has 6 fingers. This guy has 6 fingers on one hand. All right, say amen, say amen. All right, amen, cool. You go pray over there. 200 people go to my church. I always end up holding hands with the guy that killed Ingo Montoya's father.
That's good.
Always one guy that laughs really hard at it, and I'm like, you're my best friend. But other comics are like, just let it go. Right. Nobody laughs at it. It's just fun.
That's good.
Sounds cute. Well, you can't really go to like a church picnic or something and bring up that joke, huh?
Yeah.
Or is that is it a sore subject at home?
Sometimes, but it's clean enough to where I can tell it at church, not my church, but I can tell it at another church.
Hey Josh, do you cuss a lot on your set?
Depends where I'm at. Most of the time, no.
And who's your favorite comedian right now that's out there?
It'd be a tie between Gabriel Iglesias and Christopher Titus.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Very interesting. Carolyn, do you have any other questions for Josh?
No, that's it. I'm just enjoying listening.
Okay, cool. Now, Josh, have you ever had to... Are you pretty well experienced with like hecklers and how to handle them? And have you had any scary moments where people are coming at you or anything?
A couple, not too many. Whenever you have a microphone, you can win.
Yeah, I really think that Chris is volunteering to train you up on that heckler thing. I'm just saying.
So if there's depends on the show. If there's a lot of people, you can turn the people against the heckler. If it's one or two people, like that's where I was at when I started. Like I would drive 4 hours to College Station. I would do my set, but when I would get there, there would only be 3 people there. But I would still do it because I drove 4 hours. So. One guy actually, I went up there one time and there was one guy in the entire bar and he paused my set during the middle of a joke. He said, wait, I got to go to the bathroom. I was like, dude, this isn't a DVD. He was like, well, there's nobody else here. I'm like, all right, good point. I'll wait. Go ahead.
His own personal comedian. I like that.
Yeah.
But are you finding that you're getting more and more well known as it's building and building? Are you starting to notice now that you're coming into your own as far as your career goes? Is that cool? You know what I'm saying?
I'm It's what you do, and that's definitely what it is now. It's what you do, and it's how much effort you put into it. So by blowing up Twitter, blowing up Facebook, you know, you tell people you have a show here, you have a show there. There's several comics in Houston that think, you know, I'm a road comic to where I'm getting paid just because I said I was in Dallas and I was in Washington and I was in California. I didn't get paid for those. I was there. I got to perform, and that's for a whole new audience, but they don't know that. And so I've got messages in Houston. They're like, oh, hey, do you want to come perform here? Oh, hey, do you want to come perform here? And that's the difference between now and, you know, 40, 50 years ago. You know, then you would just show up, be at the club, be funny. That's what you had to focus on.
Hey, Josh, where do you see, like, let's say, like, the best case scenario? What do you envision for yourself in the future, like, maybe 5-10 years from now?
I'm hoping, like, Comedy Central special.
Yeah.
Something. HBO opening act for somebody really big.
Cool.
That's what I'm aiming for, at least.
Yeah. Okay. Not aiming for being that big number one actor, a sitcom or a movie or...
Well, in the next 5 years, I would settle for opening act. I want the name in lights. And, you know, with my last name, it's going to be a lot of lights.
True. Yannikopoulos. Josh Yannikopoulos. I got it, right?
You could be Josh
yep.
G or something. Josh G.
No, he doesn't like Josh G.
Oh, he doesn't? Oh.
No, he doesn't want that.
Oh. How about Joshy Josh?
Josh and the funky bunch.
I don't know. I'm going to think of something.
You can call me that.
Hey, Joshua.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now this is a serious question, okay? Have you ever had, like, an extreme anxiety attack on stage in front of a...
No.
You've always been comfortable and able to handle the situation.
Yeah, I've never had an anxiety attack on stage. No, it hasn't happened. Even whenever I bombed really bad, I didn't have an anxiety attack. Thought about it, but...
Thought about having one? Have you ever witnessed anyone just completely fall apart on stage and just, like, drop the mic and run crying?
Yeah. Yeah,
is
definitely we have.
Is that happen pretty often?
No, it doesn't happen that often. It takes a lot of guts to get on stage to begin with. So if somebody's going to get up there, they're normally pretty confident or pretty drunk, one of the two.
Yeah. What's your secret, drinking or straight confidence?
Whenever I started, it was drinking. Now, confidence. I got comfortable.
Cool.
So do you, I'm going to ask this, this is like an interview question that if you're applying for a job, but where would you like to see yourself going in about 5 years or so? Or is there a time frame that you have? Or your own time frame?
In about 5 years, I would love to be able to be opening for somebody big. I would want to be traveling and probably be able to support myself on just comedy would be great.
Hey, Josh.
Okay.
Josh, are you, like, the funniest person, like, at Thanksgiving, your family get-togethers? Or does everybody look to you to, like, make them all laugh and stuff?
No, everybody decides to try and make jokes and everything else, and then they're like, oh, hey, you can use that in your act. Like, oh, thank you.
So you got a family of comedians.
I got a family that want to be comedians.
I gotcha.
Did you want to do like a little bit or something since you're on right now? But it's some kind of a little, a little quickie or something, I guess you'd say. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Sorry, my phone.
I think she wants to know if you want to do a joke or two.
A joke or two? Yeah, I can do a joke or two.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Let me think. Hold on.
Or if you heard a funny story, you could just tell us something funny, you know?
Yeah, and after that, we have a couple of listeners calling in.
Okay, cool. So I'm half white, half Mexican with a Greek last name, which comes in handy. I was Greek when I was in school, Mexican when I'm drinking, and white when the cops are involved.
That's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
good. The Greek last name came from my stepdad. You know, he adopted me, and whenever he was trying to get me to change my last name, he was saying things like, you know, you're going to be Greek, you're going to bleed testosterone, you're the cradle of civilization, you know, 300, Leonidas. He's like, your beard's going to have a beard. I'm like, all right. Completely skipped over the fact that they used to sleep with men.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you
what. Do you look Greek?
Huh?
Do you look Greek?
I'm tan. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't interrupt what you said. I'm terrible. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. completely ruined the rhythm of the joke, but it's all right. Whatever.
I'm so sorry.
But, no. So, completely skipped over the fact that, you know, they used to sleep with men or sleep with each other. And the reason that's important is because no matter where you go, whenever you tell a group of people that you're Greek, they're always like, oh, you're Greek. That's awesome. Oh, you know, I want to go over there. Do you have family there? There's always that one guy that's like, didn't they used to sleep with boys? I'm like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Of course, I'm Mexican. that would be the end of that bit.
That's the punchline.
That's
what we want. Well, we have a listener that might want to ask you something. Let's see.
Okay.
Morgan, is anyone in the ready to roll there? I don't know. I thought we had a couple. We lost one of them. Morgan's talking to one of them. Hold on one sec.
Must be the solar flare thing.
Yeah.
I think Melissa was there, but she dropped off. Oh, these crazy phones. I don't think they're very smart. I really don't. They're not as smart as I am, I think.
What's that, Marcia? What are you talking about, Marcia?
Can you hear me? My phone sucks. I was just saying my phone isn't very smart. It's not
smart.
But anyway, that's not really a compliment for my phone, but... Anyway, so Josh, so what have you got going on now for the weekend? Are you doing anything exciting?
I'm actually on my way to a friend's birthday party right now.
Cool.
I have my loving girlfriend in the car next to me.
How much longer do we have you for, Josh?
You can have me as long as you want me.
Okay. Wow. I'm sure his girlfriend just elbowed him for that one. Just kidding. Well, you know what? I'm going to put there's a listener on here. I'm going to see what they have to say. Just blindly. I don't know who it is. Let's see. Hello.
Hello, Josh. I just love Josh. Is Josh there?
Josh is here. What's your name?
Josh?
No, I'm pretty sure that's Scott.
That's not
Josh. No, it's Josh. This is Josh. This is Josh, and I love someone with my name, Josh.
Wow.
Okay.
I just want to know what it was like growing up with the name Josh.
Growing up with the name Josh?
Where, is this Josh? Is it Josh Tropin or whatever that guy's name is? You know who I'm talking about, Chris? It isn't Josh.
No, Chesler or something. Josh with a C, something. Josh.
Chesler.
Yeah, it's a really cool name.
Hold on, let me find out who it is. Hold on one second, guys. Talk amongst yourselves.
Josh is confused.
Is the real Josh there still?
Yes, the real Josh is still here.
It's like a Slim Shady kind of thing going on. So, anyway, are you going anywhere for spring break, Josh, or are you staying put in the Texas area?
Staying put in Texas.
Okay. Now, have you always been in Texas? Are you native?
Yes. I've been in Houston all my life.
I don't hear much of a twang. I really don't. Does your accent get thick when you're around family or friends a little bit more? You sound very neutral. I don't hear much of a twang.
Well, thank you. I pride myself on my vocabulary and speaking ability.
Okay.
Don't worry. A few beers in, it comes back.
Comes back, huh? Now, are you typical Texan like Jason? Jason, I'm just kidding. Do you wear cowboy hat?
I do not wear cowboy hats, but my family does own horses.
Oh, cool. And do you have jokes that, because you were saying you like to talk about yourself. Do you talk highly of yourself, or do you cut yourself down?
Normally, I talk highly of myself. I mean, I have a couple of jokes digging at myself. I'm a bigger guy, so I have a couple of fat jokes. But for the most part, I talk crap about my family and friends.
Okay. So most of your stories come from your personal experiences, family and friends?
Normally.
Okay, got it. Chris, did you find out who's waiting there? I don't think, is Chris there even, Jason? Is anybody there? Is it just you and I? I'm here. Am I alone?
Is all alone.
Are we that exciting or what? Jeez.
No, it's Carolyn. I'm sorry. I was very distracted because my team was on, and we barely won the game.
Oh, the basketball.
Team. Yes, I'm like a basketball obsessed, and I had to watch. I had the.
Right.
I was muted, so you guys would not hear my screaming. And I had a couple of choice words. I was channeling my late father when they were screwing up. It is not very ladylike, so I figured you probably did not want that on your recording. I channeled the inner crazy person, but it's all good. It's all good.
Gotcha.
We rose above.
Jason, Josh, or anybody that's there, do you have any? I mean, you're watching, obviously, Carolyn. Do you watch any of the basketball stuff, Josh, or are you a fan?
No. I can't.
I'm not either. So
he's about the football. They just care about football in Texas.
Do they?
It doesn't count. Some of us in Texas don't even care about football. Let me just tell you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't care about football.
What?
My
My girlfriend cares more about football than I do.
Wow. Yeah, I don't follow that stuff either, really. I like hockey. That's about it.
So you
know? I've never watched a hockey game.
Hey, Carolyn, what?
I don't understand watching the fight. I don't understand it because they mostly fight.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's a lot of anger.
My dad used to watch boxing all the time, and I was just like, I don't get it.
Oh, my God. My dad used to watch wrestling after we got home from church. I thought that was weird. My sweetest. That fake, you know, the fake wrestling shows.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember. You know, the juicy.
Like the guys, the costumes, or the real wrestling?
The fake wrestling, you know, where they just make a big scene and they're like, they yell
the
at the
WWF thing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I thought that was so weird. And, like, he'd go and we couldn't be around when it was on. So it was just, I don't know, very traumatic. It was after church, though. I just remember that. And I just remembered it and thought, God dang, that's weird. Oh, well. Anyway, I don't really get wrestling at all. It must be a guy thing. I don't know.
I don't know. You know what? When I was a kid, I actually had a friend's family. Their entire family was obsessed with wrestling. So I don't think it's just a guy thing. I think it's a family thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Have you
theater people who are too cheap for tickets?
Have you seen that? There's a TV show about some family that wrestles, and it's like Southern Arkansas or something. It's really bizarre. And I swear they're religious, but they also wrestle. Speaking of that combination,
that's
that was
weird.
A weird tie in my story. Yeah, I can't think of it. I saw a commercial for it, and I'm like, that's freaking weird. Some reality show. I'll have to find it.
I'm not a fan of reality shows anymore. I used to be.
I don't know, but they're not reality. So why do they even call them reality? Why don't they just call them crap?
TV for people with no SAG card. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're cheap. They don't have to pay them as much as, you know, that's the sad part of how the television has made this turn, you know, but oh well, they get too much money anyway. But anyway, I don't know.
I never understood that. I think I watched reality shows when they first kind of came out. Like I remember when The Real World, the very first season, was on. That was like a huge crazy deal because. Well, at the time, I don't even know how many seasons they've had, but at the time, it was the very first season, and everyone who was in the house was someone I could relate to because I was their age. It was like, you know, they were all 20 years old, 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite astonishing to see, you know, regular kids your age on television doing stuff that, you know, you kind of knew because your friends were and you were doing some of the same things. But all kind of like crammed in the same house with a strange. It was like an extension of college dorm life. It seemed like.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I was in the call room. It was like late at night, and I was flipping channels. And I guess MTV doesn't show music anymore. They just show these shows. So I flipped, and it was one of these iterations of The Real World. And I was like, everyone on there has like got perfect skin and airbrushed makeup and. Extensions. When did college kids start looking like this? I thought it was
strange. Yeah, I don't remember that either.
It's completely changed over to now. Like the people who were on the original Real World would never qualify because they would not be considered attractive enough.
True.
To be on the show, they would not.
Staged. Yeah, I used to watch. I watched the first Housewives show. Beverly Hills, or not Beverly Hills, but Orange County Girls. I watched that for a little bit, and then it just got weirder and weirder, and I didn't like it. And I remember Rock of Love, but I don't know. Yeah, The Real World was real interesting, because I just, God, that's crazy. People that are just no names are famous now. You know?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. How did they manage to become wealthy and then they have, like, they start these weird business ventures that somehow or another manage, at least on the surface, to make money? It boggles my mind. Because I'm like, these people have no talent. Like,
The ones that throw me are the ones from Jersey Shore. The fact that Snooki and JWoww had a show after that show, and they wrote books.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know they knew how to write.
Yeah.
Who is Snooki and JWoww?
I didn't even know they knew how to read.
Who are Snooki and JWoww? I don't know this one.
Hard to describe.
You better post a picture. Yeah, they're just typical.
Do I Google it right now?
Google
it?
No. If you're going to Google Snooki, you have to Google Snooki South Park episode, and that'll explain everything.
That's funny.
Snooki South Park. I have a feeling I probably don't need to have this playing in the background. S-N-O-K-Y?
It's actually, it ends with I, I think. Snooki.
Just an I.
It's S-N-O-O-K-I.
Snooki and JWoww. Wow, the two W's came up on my Bing search. Oh, I've seen clips like on E! Entertainment with this little short one. She looks like she just missed being an achondroplastic dwarf, that one.
Yeah,
real
one.
Short, big head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never watched that show until I heard that she got punched in the face. And I was like, what? I want to see that.
Yeah, I've seen clips of them, like, on entertainment shows, and I didn't know who they were. I thought that they were some kind of, like, hanger-on girlfriends of, like, rappers or something. She write a book. Someone wrote a book, and she put her name on it.
Snooki made a turn for the better, I guess. She got married, has kids, kind of got rid of that whole look a little bit. But she was the one that started, remember those little hair bump things, Carolyn? She was the one that started that kind of look.
That started like 7-8 years ago. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. the little, you know, I hate to say this, but little white trash girls around here still have that. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're looking bad. But of course, they just started wearing it like 2 or 3 years ago. It takes that long for anything to get to the middle of nowhere. This is, oh, she's really horrifying looking. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They're terrifying.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at this video. He's in a fist fight. Oh, my God. Okay, I got to stop.
Now you're going to be obsessed with it.
No, I won't be obsessed with her. But seriously, she looks like a dwarf. And then she's hideous. Oh, my God. She's, like, badly dressed. I've heard her mumbling and fumbling on camera. And she has produced children? More than one?
I think so. I think she has 2 kids now. She's cleaned up her act. She used to get arrested, and she was kind of a mess, a big, big mess. But
like a Lindsay Lohan mess, or like?
Yeah, very much. That's all they did on that show. I don't think I ever watched a full episode. I just saw clips of just goofy stuff they were doing. But anyway. It just followed them in their clubbing and all that crazy, their lifestyle. But,
so it's just basically this basically kids at the beach for the summer.
Basically, right.
Well, that seems pretty boring because I could go to the beach myself. Why would I just want to watch people at the beach? it just seems very strange. Strange. Having been to the Jersey Shore myself, these people, they don't change. They wear the same clothes that they were wearing like 15, 20 years ago. The same hairdos, too. And the guys look the same. That's your gold chain. That's scary.
Yeah, I think that was the whole deal, is that it's kind of a type of lifestyle or whatever out there. I mean, most of us don't relate to it, so maybe the kind of the absurdity is why people watched it, and the like, what are they going to do next kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to the shore. I used to go to the shore a couple of times this summer. I go to Jersey, like, once or twice in the summer, and then I go to Delaware, to Rehoboth, a couple of times a summer. And Jersey is where you went if you just wanted to go with your friends and just get buck wild. And Rehoboth was a little bit, you know, you could get wild, but it was a little bit more laid back. There wasn't, like, the big boardwalk thing, and it wasn't necessarily a complete drunk-a-thon. It was, like, a 50% drunk-a-thon.
Oh, man.
So, there was a clear difference in the kind of people that went to the Jersey Shore versus the other places.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. Jersey Shore, you definitely outgrow by the time you're, like, 22, 3, 4.
Yeah, I think they just kind of extended it. Well, I hate to cut everybody off right now, but it looks like a few of us have some different things we have to do. Josh, are you still with us?
I am still here.
Okay. Well, I wanted to thank you for calling us, and we really appreciate the conversation and you taking time. You're very welcome to call anytime. And
okay.
I'll do all I can for you, you know, promoting and if you want to put anything on FaceTalk or on my page, just please, you know, feel free. Carolyn, thank you. Morgan, thank you. And Jason, of course, thank you. Chris, I think I said thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you guys. Jason, anybody else have anything else they want to add?
Nope, just thanks for having the show.
Well, thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Adios.